Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, lingering shower is going to be giving way to decreasing clouds eventually. We'll have a high today around 78. Kenosha right now, still with some rain and some thunderstorm activity. It is 66, 67 degrees in Burlington, 66 Milwaukee, 65 in Racine. The Kenosha County Sheriff's Department's identify the Racine man who was killed earlier this week in a two-vehicle traffic crash at Highways H&L in Summers as 55-year-old Trey Muse. Reports indicating that his southbound pickup truck was hit by another pickup that was going westbound on Highway L after it failed to stop for the posted sign. When Kenosha Sheriff's deputies arrived, they found Muse had been ejected from the vehicle, suffering from severe injuries. He later died at Frederick Hospital. The other driver, 43-year-old Gene Fish of Chandler, Arizona, suffered only minor injuries. She is now facing charges that include homicide and causing injury by the intoxicated use of a motor vehicle. A fight at a Mount Pleasant fast food restaurant spilled out into the parking lot on Wednesday, and there was a shot fired. This happening outside the Wendy's on Durand Avenue at about 12:30 in the morning. 21-year-old Robert Carradine, according to court documents, telling investigators that inside the restaurant, a man he knew had made a comment that led him to believe he would be shot at, so he knocked his drink out of his hand and punched the guy in the face. Fight moved out into the parking lot, and as Carradine and his girlfriend were leaving in a car, another man, identified as 29-year-old Andrew Collier, allegedly fired a shot at their vehicle and struck it on the passenger side. Collier now facing charges for that. Carradine also facing charges, both men in court yesterday. Racine County Sheriff Christopher Schmaling says it was his decision to change chaplains in the jail a few months ago after learning of problems that had developed and needed some immediate correction.
I don't want to badmouth him, but I can tell you that given his current situation, I thought it was best that we move along and move in a different direction. His services were inadequate in my view. So for a period of time, I was searching for just that right person to bring along services for the Racine County Jail inmates, as well as moving the sheriff's office into a direction where our staff who deal with inmates on a daily basis around the clock would also have someone to talk to should that need arise.
Speaking with the Finance and Human Resources Committee, the sheriff said religious services in the jail are required by state statute, and he felt that under the circumstances that had come to his attention, the change from Pastor Merritt Adams was warranted. He said he vetted a handful of replacements and found Pastor Anthony Balestrieri, 25 years of non-denominational experience, is really what the jail chaplaincy had needed.
I think from a liability aspect to religious aspects to the inmates, guidance for the staff that are in charge of the inmates, Pastor Anthony is a very well-rounded, well-experienced individual who's bringing a breadth of experience to our jail that we haven't seen in years.
Pastor Anthony, as he's known, been leading the jail chaplaincy program over the past few months now, a job for which he does get paid. The county board is also being asked to approve a formal contract between the Sheriff's Department and the Sheriff's Jail Chaplaincy Council. Kenosha Police putting out information regarding a convicted sex offender who's going to be released back into the community. 20-year-old Gabriel Burns has prior acts of sexual assault involving juveniles. A couple of years ago, he was convicted of sexually assaulting a juvenile female he had met while taking a walk. He previously had threatened to shoot a victim if the victim told anybody about the assault. Burns is to be released from prison on the 4th of July. He'll be homeless, on GPS monitoring, and under supervision by the Department of Corrections. He's going to be required to check in daily with his parole agent. Burns not permitted to have unsupervised contact with any minors, also not to have any contact with his victim. And he cannot be at a tavern, at a bar, a liquor store, and is not permitted to consume alcohol or drugs. A few people had some comments this week on a proposed ordinance in Kenosha that would allow fire pits in the city. It was before the city council for a first reading. Among those who talked to the alderman, Mark Regnier, who supports the ordinance, but he suggested that people who want to use a fire pit be required to purchase a yearly permit.
And those favorite little door flyers you guys like hanging on our door at election time, each person should be handed one of those to read and sign that they've read with bullet points of just your basic common fire procedure when you're making a fire pit to make sure it's not close to a building, you don't have leaves in your gutters, etc., etc. That way there's a little money to go towards the fire department, because when there's a problem, that's the one we're going to call.
The ordinance is sponsored by Alderman Daniel Prozanski. It would allow open burning under certain conditions, and there's strong opposition by the fire department and Chief Charles Leipzig. Council is scheduled to vote on the measure at its next meeting, July the 17th. And Lakeview Technology students Gabe Gimbel-Schmitz and Will Berger, they recently designed and constructed a breach door at the request of the Pleasant Prairie Police Department. These two young guys took this project on over and above their regular coursework. And now, according to a release from the Village of Pleasant Prairie, that door is going to be used for training by local police and fire and rescue departments. Fire department have been looking into the purchase of a door for training purposes over the past few years, but had encountered budgetary challenges. A conditional use permit supported by the Kenosha City Plan Commission to develop the residences at Library Park, a $12 million 49-unit rental apartment complex with 42 low-income and 7 market-priced, proposed by Varen Library Park 2 LLC. This is in the former Kenosha Youth Foundation building at 7th Street and 59th Place. It's a project that includes historic tax credits and a home loan grant money program. Some of the attention during a 75-minute meeting focused in on the proposed removal of an east side addition to create an 18-space parking lot. The fire department saying their trucks couldn't get through with that. That prompted David Nankin, the managing partner with the developer, to say they would accept it becoming green space.
We were willing to accommodate the fire department's request, even if it resulted in fewer parking spaces. But after listening to the mayor, we'd be open to making that entire area where the 74-75 addition is as green space. We would try to keep the south facade of that building. Maybe put some sort of ornamental gate or wrought iron fence in front of it. But we have enough parking on the west side, and I think that's a great idea.
Alderman John Fox had a problem with the amended plan of 49 units versus the original 45 because he said it reduced their square footage. Meanwhile, a motion to go back to the 2014 plan was rejected. Then the amendment for the parking lot situation was approved. And then the recommendation of the plan commission was to approve the conditional use that'll be going on to the Common Council. Well, after a shareholders' meeting on Thursday, Foxconn, the big company that's been in the news of late, apparently those folks are saying a decision on where it may build a new U.S. manufacturing plant will be made sometime next month. Wisconsin, including sites in this area, along with Michigan, Pennsylvania, and North Carolina, are said to be in the running. The business climate of foreign companies like Foxconn to increase its U.S. manufacturing presence is on the move. That according to Art Sir, who's director of the A.W. Clausen Center for World Business at Carthage College. He talked to our partners at Gateway Public Radio about it. Professor Sir saying that the president's America First initiative, that is a factor in encouraging U.S. investment. Other reasons would also exist for Foxconn to build a plant here in southeast Wisconsin.
Proximity to the market, reducing transportation costs, and also more integrated manufacturing would be why you'd want to put a plant here. And there has been an impressive continuing. There is return of manufacturing to North America because it's becoming more profitable and attractive again for companies to be making things here. It's not just a response to political pressure.
Foxconn reportedly looking to make display screens in this country, but they've got a reputation of not always following through on promises. And there is still the issue of a vacant trustee position on the Mount Pleasant Village Board that doesn't seem to be going anywhere with the continued power struggle among the other six members. Tie votes or majority rejection of different candidates having taken place over the last several weeks. During the Village Plan Commission meeting this week, Commissioner Robert Underhill asked the question of Community Development Director Sam Schultz if it was causing any problems for his department, and he was told no.
This not being able to fill this seat on the board, is that affecting any of these projects?
No, the board, while they do have political divisions within the board, it's always been my goal to kind of stay out of that, and the board has been very supportive. All members of the board have been very supportive of the projects that we've put forward so far this year.
The open seat on the board developing, of course, when Dave DeGroot won election for village president and had to resign as trustee. There's a term on that connected to April of 2019. The possibility of a special election has been talked about, as well as legislation from Senator Van Wongard based on his firsthand observation of the ongoing stalemate. WRJN.com. That's our webpage. We keep our newscasts in the local news section. And throughout the day, at WRJN News, we'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.